Amen, amen. Thank you so much, worship team. That was incredible. Well, I'm so excited all of you are in the house of God today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christian Paterno, and I get to serve as the Faith Bridge Student Ministry Director. But my favorite titles is husband to my wife, Kenzie, and father to my little girl, Lennon, and she's in the stage where she's just figuring out how to walk. So it's a whole lot of fun inside of our household. But I'm really excited about today as we are here for Ash Wednesday, kicking off this season of Lent, and I truly believe that the Lord has something special for each and every single one of you. How are you feeling just then? Awkward, uncomfortable. A lot of feelings and emotions can surface when we sit in silence, especially when we're forced to sit in silence in a giant room packed with a lot of people. But silence is precisely what I want to talk to all of you guys about today. And nearing my 30s, I can confidently say that I was a part of the generation who grew up hand in hand with technology. And as we all know, technology is advancing at lightning speed, like the fastest of the downhill skiers who are racing in the Winter Olympics right now. But here's the thing, that the skiers, they have a finish line. With technology, there's no finish line. Rather, it's this ever-advancing movement of better and faster and more capability. There's always going to be another phone, another vehicle. There's always going to be another tablet, a new software, a new app that promises to make your life easier and more efficient and better. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the cultural pressure of trying to stay up to date with the entire world, so much so that we turn the notifications on our phone just so that anytime any new piece of information gets dropped, it pings our phone instantaneously and we stay up to date without missing a beat. The thing about this is that neuroscience tells us that technology creates countless surges of dopamine inside of our minds at levels that we were never able to or designed to metabolize. And there was a time that it really wasn't too long ago where we didn't have all this technology, where the dopamine hits were far and few in between and less accessible as they are today. But the problem that we're faced is now, is that as long as we crave these hits of dopamine, we will always continue to crave the very technologies and devices and avenues that we receive it from. And so what that does over time is it begins to shape your habits. You begin to have learned behaviors. But not only that, it also forms the desires of your heart. And before you know it, you'll find yourself being trained away from stillness, maybe finding yourself physically present, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually absent. And so, what does all this have to do about silence? Well, let me illustrate it for you. Back in 2021, I was a youth pastor in Alabama, and we were having so much fun. On top of the youth nights, we were discipling students and leaders. We were going to all the recitals, to all the games. And this was the time where, I don't know if you remember, where pickleball was taking over. Like, that was the first time I ever heard of pickleball. And then next thing you know, it was everywhere. There was courts everywhere. All you could hear was the pinging of the paddle. It was crazy. And we loved it. We were playing 20 hours a week. Me and my 16-year-old students, we thought we were going to go pro. We were signing up for any and every tournament we can get our hands on or we can drive to. And it was a whole lot of fun. And amidst the go, go, go of youth ministry, the Lord began to whisper to me that there's something missing inside of my prayer life. And I thought, well, that's odd because, there's a lot of things you could be speaking to me about, but I think my prayer life is pretty good. Not because I was just awesome at prayer, but because I was blessed to be surrounded by people who love Jesus and have been following him for 50 plus years. And so my prayers were shaped and formed by just being prayed over by them, by being inspired by them and the way that they expanded my vision on what prayer could look like and be like. I was praying, Lord, would your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I was praying that people would come into repentance and have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, becoming disciples of Jesus. I was praying, Holy Spirit, would you be tangible in our lives? That's where I found out what tangible even meant.
was because of their prayers. And so I was learning so much from them. But it was as if the Holy Spirit kept whispering that there's something missing in Christian. I have more for you. And so I began to study and reflect on all the teachings about prayer that I've heard throughout the years. And I kept going back to prayer is not a monologue, this one directional me talking to God and him listening, but it was a dialogue that we'd both have turns to speak and that we'd both take turns to listen. And so in that time in studying, I began to look at the life of Jesus, and I found something interesting that I want to share with you guys today. Luke 5, 15 through 16 says this, "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." So think about this. Jesus' visibility is clearly exploding. His ministry is on the rise, and crowds are gathering to hear from him daily. And so with all this increase in his time and his talent, Luke tells us something so profound that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. And so I don't know about you, but if Jesus, who is fully man and fully God, needed to go and be alone with the Father to pray, how much more do you and I need to be alone with the Father to pray? I know when I look at my life and there's new responsibilities and there's an increase in my time and talent, I'm so focused on trying to manage that new responsibility in this new season of life that the first thing that I begin to neglect is my time alone with the Father. And so I begin to research and look into this ancient art of silence and solitude, and I found out that for over a century, hundreds of men and women, of faithful believers and followers of Jesus, practiced this. And the way that they wrote about this silence and solitude was so inspiring that me back in Alabama, I'm ready. I'm inspired. I'm going to try out some old-fashioned silence and solitude. So what do? I make a plan. Because every breakthrough starts off with a good plan. And so here's my first plan is at 6 a.m., I'm going to wake up and I'm going to pray. That's impressive. Like, that's really early. At 6 a.m., I'm going to wake up and pray in the comfort of my bed. Oof. Yeah, we all know how that one goes. I was out within 23 seconds. At that point, it was up to Pastor Pillow and Sister Sheets to intercede for me because I was not waking up anymore. And I'm not going to lie. That plan has never worked for me. It was maybe like my 10th try. But because I had so much inspiration, I thought, okay, this is going to be the one. And then it finally clicked for me. That inspiration alone wasn't enough to bring the transformation that God wanted to work inside of my life. And so I had to make a better plan. I had to get really serious about the means and have a better plan. So I decided I was going to wake up and start praying at 7 a.m. instead. Have a cup of coffee. Let myself wake up a little bit more. I would go out into the back porch. I would set up just a little plastic chair. And there was nothing beautiful about the scenery, but I'm sitting there. I don't have my phone, and I don't have my Bible. I wanted zero distractions. And so I pray, God, I want to know you more. Teach me. And so now I'm ready to just enter into this moment of experiencing his love like never before. It was lavishing all on me, and I would see his glory. And after about 15 seconds, I thought I was going to die. It was the worst experience of my life. I would have traded my inheritance for lentils in 2 seconds. That story made sense all of a sudden. And I just remember everything inside of me wanted to break the silence. The song lyrics would flood my mind. Images from my favorite TV shows and social media, it would begin to flood my mind. All the lists and tasks that I had to do, it was all at the forefront of my mind. And even though I escaped the pressures of my devices and opportunities to be distracted by other people, I still couldn't have an enjoyable moment, and I wanted to escape the silence. And why was that? Because I was using a muscle that I've never trained before. And not just that, but my entire life before that point, I was training for opposite results. And what I realized is that I became a professional at filling every space, at filling every gap, and every pause, and everywhere there is potential to be silence and to be contemplative in my life with noise, with activity, or with technology. And so, facing all this, I decided to keep pressing in, to keep going. And as I began learning, Galatians 5:17 became really real to me. And it says this, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." I had to acknowledge that this was true in my life and that there was a very real war going on inside of me. And then I had to understand that whatever side of that war I was on, whether it was team flesh or team spirit, wasn't just based off of whoever I pledged allegiance to. It was had everything to do with the way that I ordered my life and that I allowed my daily habits to dictate. And so I had to face myself, and I had to understand that if I kept feeding my flesh, it would be impossible for me to have an enjoyable moment one-on-one with the Father. No matter how bad my spirit was willing, if I did not confront the addictions of my flesh and name them and starve them till they weren't there anymore, I would never be able to step into the quiet and feel at peace with the Father. And so as I kept pressing, I came across an incredible teacher named Dallas Willard, and he had this to say about silence. Our silence before God is a way of saying, "I trust you enough not to fill the space." And how he helped me was he painted the picture that as I was sitting in silence, that it wouldn't just be the chaos in my mind or just the breeze from the wind, that it would be God's very spirit filling the atmosphere, that it would be his spirit embracing me in that moment. And so over time, as the chaos and the song lyrics begin to fade, what rose to the surface was interesting. I found it was unbelief. I found it was distrust in God. And I found there was sin that I convinced myself wasn't there because I buried everything but behind noise and technology and activities. And I never got to face who I truly was at the deepest level in my soul. And so now I'm in this moment, and then it finally clicked that once all that started to surface, there began a tension in my life. And it was in that very own tension that I realized that this is the place that God wants to start the transformative work inside of my life. And so keep going, keep pressing in. So I kept going. And after about a couple weeks, I'm not gonna lie, something actually began to change. And I started to feel these promptings and impressions from his spirit, and I began writing them down. And not just that, the things that were flooding through my mind at that point wasn't the song lyrics or the chaos anymore, but it was scripture. And not just scripture, but my heart actually began to believe the scripture that was coming to my mind. And there was a lot of times where the scripture would be relevant for the season of life that I was going through, but more often than not, it was just his word to expand my vision of how incredible our God was. And it was in that moment that I realized that prayer truly is a dialogue, and that God loves to speak to us, and he actually wants to speak to us more than we even want to talk to him. He has so much love, and he embraced me in such a profound way that it changed everything. And then I realized that experiencing the Lord wasn't just something that would happen every once in a while. It's not this thing that just happens when a pastor is preaching at you, or you listen to a great podcast or a really good worship set. But you can experience the Lord on a daily level through your personal one-on-one relationship with him, through setting aside time and silence and being contemplative and allowing God to speak to you. And so that changed my life entirely. And now I want you to wrestle with this question. Have you ever seen prayer as an exercise, as something that needs to be trained in order to be developed? Have you ever seen talking to God just as important as listening to God? If not, if you were to spend years just talking with God and only drawing on that and never listening to God, you would look like somebody who's able on the left arm curling 40-pound dumbbells, looking like Danny Hannon with talking to God, and then 2.5s looking like little me in Alabama figuring this out for the first time in my early 20s. And we need both. Prayer requires both talking to God and listening to him. And so what does all this have to do with Ash Wednesday? Well, Ash Wednesday kicks off the season of Lent. And Lent is the historic season where Christians for centuries would set aside time to draw nearer to God with greater intentionality, not to earn more favor or more grace or anything like that, but to just create more space to notice him in their everyday lives. And so imagine what could happen if this Lenten season we decided to add 10 to 20 minutes of silence on top of the faithful and daily rhythms you might already have. And so I want to encourage you with this, that Jesus loves you, that he sees you, that he knows everything that you're going through. He knows the details of your life. He knows what you need and when you need it. And he loves to hear from you, but he longs for you to begin listening to him. So what could happen if we begin listening to him during this season of Lent? So I want to encourage you, step into the quiet, peacefully, gently, accepting whatever might come, trusting the Lord in the silence. You have to be patient, and if you stay there long enough, I promise you, God will embrace you and encounter you, and you will hear him, and you will walk away feeling more in awe of the Lord than ever before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we surrender at your feet. God, all the areas in our life where we were blocking out with your voice, with noise, with technology, with whatever activities we might find ourselves in, God, we trust you. And so we submit ourselves to you in this season of Lent, that today marks a day that we will begin listening to you and your spirit. And so we trust you in the silence, and we thank you for greeting us with your loving arms. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.